Money Radio, thank you so much for joining us. And joining us now, it's a pleasure to welcome an immigrant, Brian Buffini. He is a business expert, founder of Buffini and Company, and the author of a new book, The Immigrant Edge. The Immigrant Edge, and that's spelled with an E, immigrant with an E, How to Make It Big in America, by Brian Buffini. Brian, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me, Sinclair. Looking forward to it.
Let's start first off with the title, E for immigrant.
Yeah, you know, that really confuses the Americans, doesn't it?
Oh, it does. A lot of things confuse us.
Well, you know, the thing about it is, for the rest of the world, that's how it's thought of, because an immigrant with an E is a person who permanently leaves their home and goes to another place. And Americans for 150 years have only had people mostly coming here, which is immigration. But the power of this is there's an awful lot to be said for the person who leaves who they know, what they know, all behind to go out and try to be successful, and in this case, pursue the American dream. And so that's why I named the book the way I did. It seems to have hit a nerve. It's been a huge success in just a few weeks here. So very thankful. It seems like it's the right message at the right time for a lot of folks.
Some folks may have detected a slight little Irish brogue there. You're from Dublin originally. Tell us a little bit about your story immigrating to the United States.
Well, you know, sometimes it's by choice and sometimes it's by circumstance. I came here at 19 years of age, grew up in Dublin, Ireland as a house painter's son, came out on a vacation, and I got run over by a car. I was in a motorcycle and ended up being in and out of hospital for the next 2 years, very serious injuries. Had lots of rods and screws installed in my legs, and then racked up a bunch of bills. So I was a very young man, of just out of my teens. I owed $250,000, and here I was. But thankfully, as I tell people, if you're going to start over somewhere in a bad set of circumstances, America's a pretty good place to be. So I did whatever I could to start with. I was selling T-shirts at the beach. I worked in a photo mat. Some of your younger listeners will have to Google that. I worked as a security guard. You'll like this, Sinclair. I was a security guard at nighttime at a hotel in La Jolla, and I had a full leg in my right leg and a full leg cast and two crutches. So my line was, if I can catch you, I'll arrest you. But I eventually got into real estate, and real estate at the time was a very aggressive kind of, you know, the go-go 80s. The leading trainer at the time used to say, find them, fleece them, and forget them. And I didn't subscribe to that philosophy of business. I was all about exceeding people's expectations, taking the principles my father and grandfather had taught me in the painting business and doing a great job for people. And I did very well in real estate. And within 3 years, I was debt-free. 3 years after that, I was a millionaire. And 3 years after that, people would ask me to come and, can you tell us what you do and how you do it? And so I started speaking and training. And you know, over the last 22 years now, our company's trained 3 million business owners in 37 countries. We have about 20,000 businesses we coach today. We have a pretty good-sized operation here in Carlsbad, California. And you wake up some mornings and you go, how in the heck did I get here? But ultimately, very, very thankful for the opportunities I've had and very thankful for the opportunities America especially has afforded me.
And like so many immigrants to the United States, you were looking at a situation where you really didn't have much of anything, and you were almost back to the wall, had to make it no matter what.
Right. Yeah, sometimes not having a plan B is a great place to be, you know. And you know, that's where I was. And in fact, it was very recently, about a year ago, I saw a Harvard Institute of Politics report that said 50% of millennials don't believe the American dream is still possible. And then another report that said baby boomers, there was like almost 50% of baby boomers surveyed said they don't think their kids will have it as good as they did. And I thought, wow, yeah, that's just not my perspective. That's just not where I'm coming from. It's not what I've seen in coaching thousands of people. So that's what caused me to kind of put pen to paper and put together, you know, the seven traits of thousands of people like myself who came here with nothing, who've made it here in America. Because my thought was, if people who are from America could look at these folks like myself that maybe didn't speak the language, didn't have any resources, didn't have any connections, didn't go to school here, didn't have any roots, and then became successful over and over again. You know, 13% of the population are immigrants, but 26% of all small businesses in America are owned by immigrants. Large percentage of the Fortune 500 companies founded by immigrants, high percentage of the Forbes 400 richest people in America. So I thought, I'm going to not only lay out my own story, but spend time studying the most successful people who came here and use it as an example. And, you know, one of the things, Sinclair, we talked a little bit about it. You know, Sinclair is an Irish or a Scottish name.
Yeah.
You know, right now in America, for the first time ever, gardening has been surpassed as the number one hobby in America. And it is now ancestry research. And the number one search on the Internet is now ancestry research. And so I thought to myself, we have people who maybe think the American dream is dimming or they can't pursue it anymore. We have all these people pursuing ancestry. They want to know where they come from. What if we put those two things together? And if people could tap into the DNA of their family and their mothers, their fathers, their grandfathers, their great-grandfathers, whatever generation back it is, and know that someone in your past, unless you're an indigenous person, you know, left everything they know, left everyone they know, put everything in a bag and headed out on a boat or however to get here. And that maybe you could tap into that spirit inside yourself and pursue your dreams yourself. So that's our story, and we're sticking to it.
And a very timely story for another reason. I think that there are some people who look at immigrants and perhaps are not as welcoming as in the past. And maybe that's just an illusion as well, because immigrants weren't always welcomed in America in
No.
the past either.
No, I mean, my grandfather actually came to the States for a short period of time in the 20s, and there was a lot of no Irish need apply. So, you know, one of the things we got in America right now is we have people tearing down monuments and doing this and doing that, and we have a lot of people who are perhaps not studying their country's history. It's throughout history. People come, and then they dig in, and they go, well, I don't want to lose Anton, so the next wave coming in, I don't want to give them a leg up. So, you know, you have all that. But at the end of the day, this is not an immigration book. This is a book about success. And I've broken down into seven principles that if you follow the seven principles, you can develop an edge and become very successful yourself.
You talk about an edge. What do you mean by edge, and why do immigrants have the edge?
Yeah, like I said, I mean, one of the edges you have, if 50% of your competition don't believe the dream is even possible, and you're coming here with the dream, it doesn't matter if they have connections and relationships and money, you're in great shape. The first principle or trait in that I write about is a voracious openness to learn. You know, what's amazing about that is I came to the States and I got exposed to what had been a 125-year rich history of personal growth and development. All over the world, Sinclair, right now, obviously I do a lot of speaking. I have a lot of relationships with people who are public speakers. And all over the world now, the public speaking business is blowing up all over the world, where they're just starting to become aware of personal growth and development. And going back to Acres of Diamonds with Russell Conwell, America has this for 125 years. Think and Grow Rich, and How to Win Friends and Influence People, The Strangest Secret with Errol Nightingale, Jim Rohn, Zig Ziglar, Norman Vincent Peale. That, all of that stuff is foreign to the rest of the world. So I came here, got exposed to personal growth and development, met a man by the name of Jim Rohn who said to me, Brian, if you'll work harder on yourself than you do on your job, you'll go from making a living to making a fortune. And that's what I did, and I made a commitment to this day. I'm 32 years in America, and my number one priority is what I put inside my own two ears. I've not spent a lot of time watching the news. I don't spend a lot of time on social media. I listen to music. I enjoy music. Every Irishman does. But I have a lot of stuff going on in the car. I'm listening to podcasts, shows like yours. I'm trying to put good stuff into my head all the time. And the good stuff in, the good stuff out. So a voracious openness to learn is a very powerful trait that anybody can embrace, but when you're an immigrant, you kind of have to have it. You were talking about the back against the wall. I think another one is a do-whatever-it-takes mindset, and that you're not going to be easily put off or easily distracted. You're going to figure it out. Now, that's not a Machiavellian approach. It's an approach that says, when I come to an obstacle, I'm going over it, I'm going under it, I'm going around it, I'm going through it. I'm going to figure it out. If I'm like a fly banging my head against the glass here, I'm going to look for an open door. I'm going to figure it out until I get it. And I think that's something that, as opposed to You know, we have a problem here. It's a setback. What should we do?
I think a lot of immigrants, just to get here, had to figure out how to overcome some obstacles.
Yeah, I mean, you're right on. I mean, you have to. I mean, I came here. My father had an American passport. He was seven when he went back home. One of the reasons, like, I came to America with $92 in my wallet. One of the reasons, it's very expensive to get here. You have to go through a lot of processes and things like that. And you really have to fight. Even with a father with an American passport, it took me 2 years to get my visa to come to America. So, you know, I'm here, and I have a motorcycle accident. I'm in debt. Okay, I got to figure this out. You know, I got no plan B. There's no money at home. I'm in debt. Let's figure it out. And that leads into the third one, which, you know, I do believe America historically is a very hard-working place. But a willingness to outwork others is the third trait. And what that means is not being a workaholic. But it means when you're working, you're working. And when you're on it, you're on it. And there's a lot of folks. I train small business people. We coach. We have 20,000 small businesses we coach. And one of the things we find is that, you know, people spend a lot of time at their work, but they might not put a lot of focus into the work. So you can be answering emails. You can be tooling around on social media. And you can do a lot of things that kind of give the illusion that you're working, as opposed to a concentrated, focused time and energy. And when you're in, you're getting it done. You know, Thomas Edison said, opportunity comes dressed in overalls and looks a lot like work. Many people want to experience the land of opportunity, but you kind of got to get after it.
Edison also said something to the effect of 99% perspiration, 1% inspiration.
Yep. And think about it. That man gave us 1,093 patents, right? Three of them were, he gave us lights, camera, action, right? He gave us the light bulb. He gave us, you know, the what ultimately became the camera. He gave us, you know, what became the phonograph and music. Mm-hmm. So just three of 1,093 patents, and his deal was about working. So a powerful one. Before you go to your break there, I think the fourth one, which I think is my favorite trait and kind of the secret weapon why so many immigrants become successful, is this heartfelt spirit of gratitude. And, you know, when you've come from a place that wasn't as good, you're so thankful and so appreciative. And you just, you know, if you're full of gratitude, you can't be simultaneously full of complaining. If you're full of gratitude, you can't be simultaneously full of entitlement, which a lot of people are struggling with now. When you come from a place of gratitude, so I'm thankful for whatever I have. Like, okay, I might not have the car I want, but I have a car. I might not be living in the house yet I want, but I have a house. That's the stuff that propels an immigrant to success. My customers, I wrote them personal notes. I thanked them for the opportunity. It wasn't like, oh, God, I got a customer. There's a lot of complaints. I thanked them and appreciated them. I wrote 10 personal notes every single day to start my day. You know, in our training company today, you know, so many people use the systems. We actually sell 10 million personal notes a year today as a company. It's a powerful thing. And if you will embrace gratitude and have a heart full of it, I think it's a great way to live. It's a great energy that you have. It's an attractive energy. And you bring that to the table. You know, you come in contact with somebody who's appreciative. Like, I'm here today. I'm thankful you're having me on your show. You know, it's a nice way to interact. It's a nice way to live. And when you're in a business and you give off that energy that I don't take you for granted, you're not a bother to me that you're here to do business with me. I'm thankful. I'm appreciative. Here's a personal note. It's very, 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 very powerful. And I think in our culture today, it stands out even more as a great marketing piece.
You're right. And it's not just a marketing piece. It's something that people appreciate in part because we don't see it enough. So when we see it, it seems even more real, even more sincere. And you've touched on a couple of very important things here. Learning, constant learning that never stops. Do whatever it takes kind of a mindset. And just that work ethic that is, we've embraced that as an American ideal, although we don't always embrace it in practice. But this is a big one, gratitude. And as we continue, I'd like to talk with you more about that. The Immigrant Edge, How to Make It Big in America. Brian Buffini is our guest. We'll continue in just a moment. Thanks so much for joining us today. This is a really interesting book. I think you're going to like it a lot. The Immigrant Edge, How to Make It Big in America, The Immigrant Edge, and immigrant spelled with an E. Our guest, Brian Buffini, The Immigrant Edge. You talk about some different traits that immigrants bring to the table and bring to their experience. You describe it as the edge that immigrants have. Seven traits that you talk about that define that edge. But I think when you get to the idea of gratitude, you've hit on something that is just incredibly key. This deals with so many different areas. This deals with authenticity. This deals with empathy. This deals with how you connect to other people. And really, that's so much of what everything you're going to do in the way of business is all about.
Yeah, well, you're right on it. Look, I'm a firm believer there's nothing new under the sun. But thousands of years ago, Cicero said, gratitude is not only the greatest of virtues, it's the parent of all others. And expressing gratitude and or actually not expressing gratitude is the same as ingratitude. I'll give an example. Like I say, back in the early days of my career when I was a real estate agent, I worked in an office with 106 real estate agents. There was a front desk receptionist. I constantly appreciated her. I wrote her notes. When she took care of a client and I was running a few minutes behind, I'd buy her like a little bouquet of flowers just to thank her. A couple of years later, she's in an office of 106 real estate agents. She asked me to represent her to buy a house. And I remember being there, and it was an awkward thing, and the people are at an office meeting. They go, Karima, why did you ask Brian to help you? And she goes, well, he's the one who's always appreciated me. I've had that experience hundreds and hundreds of times. My father used to say there's a shortage of love and appreciation in the world, and if you give it out in slices, it comes back in loaves. So gratitude, it's the rocket fuel that's propelled me more than anything else, and so many other people that I see. A couple more traits I think you'll like. Another one is a boldness to invest. An immigrant is someone who's taken a risk to start with, and they are willing to continually take risks. You look at Elon Musk, he's still pushing the envelope. Mm-hmm. You look at Sergey Brin with Google, he's still pushing the envelope. You know, I've been 23 years now in the coaching business. We've been putting together our strategic plan for our corporation, and I'm putting up tens of millions of dollars for our future because I'm confident in the future. So it's not about taking risks, it's about taking calculated risks. And I think one of the things that gives you the edge is you don't play it safe as an immigrant. The sixth one, which is a very powerful one, but it will mean I'll never have an infomercial, because it's a commitment to delay gratification. It's not a very sexy topic, but you have to be able to delay gratification in the short term in order to enjoy the greater rewards in the long term. And this is one that, again, our culture is very much instant gratification from a business perspective, mm-hmm. From the investment. People don't invest, they trade. And the dynamic is you have to be willing to say, no, I'm willing to hold the line for now, because if I do that consistently, there's a much larger reward out there waiting for me. And that's a discipline. It takes a lot of strength. But an immigrant by very nature of coming here has already delayed the gratification of being with friends and family and loved ones. So that's a big one. And then the last trait here, which I hope all this stuff is helping your listeners, is an appreciation of where you came from. I think it's always helpful to remember where you came from. I have a painting in my living room home of the emigrant ship, spelt with an E, and, you know, leaving Dublin Bay in the 1850s. We're taking people who are fleeing a famine to come to the New World. You know, half of them died on the way to America.
Yeah.
But I have that painting every day because I never want to forget where I came from, because it gives me perspective. It helps me stay appreciative. It helps me stay hardworking. It keeps me learning. It keeps me doing whatever it takes, and ultimately allows me to continue to invest. And so I'm very thankful. I'm very appreciative. Like I said, this thing became a New York Times, Wall Street Journal bestseller in its first week of release.
And I would say, understandably so, because you read this and it does inspire. It does remind you of some important truths, whether you're an immigrant or whether you grew up in the United States. These things can apply to you, and they apply to success. And you present them in a very good read. The Immigrant Edge, Brian Buffini, How to Make It Big in America. It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on, Sinclair.